Good morning, ma'am, and how are you doing today?
Good, thank you for asking.
And before we get started, what is your name?
Maria Guadalupe Mesa.
Okay, now who's...
Mine.
Oh, Mr. Neal, you're just so great. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal is going to conduct your hearing at this time, so just hold on to the phone and he'll be right with you.
Okay.
Good morning, ma'am. For the record, would you state your full name and ABC number?
Maria Guadalupe Mesa, ABC 240310.
Thank you, ma'am. The report for the Illinois Board of Executive Committee is sworn in the office of the Supervisory Relocation. I'm going to introduce the board members of the conducting hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Then you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's the board chair. Over to the right, you have the Honorable Louis Jimenez, and my name is David Dean. I'll be the hearing aid. Also in the room today is the Honorable Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you notified your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear in you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Okay, you're going to do that in two phases. In phase one, you determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, you will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So what I'm going to do for phase one, is I am going to read the one allegation of the party of one. So that's a read of mask if it's true or false. Okay?
Yes.
All right, obviously, number one is a violation of airborne conditional supervision. Number two was demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on about November 19, 2018, as directed on November 14, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were established from supervision. Is that true or false?
No, that's correct.
Okay, in phase two, you'll have plenty of opportunity to explain things. So this question, the allegation is that you didn't report in for face-to-face contact on that date. And that by the time the warrant was written at the beginning of December, they couldn't find you, didn't know where you were at. Your parole officer didn't know where you were at. So that's what I'm asking, if it's true or false.
No, it's false.
It's false. Okay, you can say it's false. Mr. Westby is going to give us full details on the allegation and we will talk about it some more. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right,
yes.
So just hang on. Mr. Westby.
On October 19, 2018, Peter Duffy directed the offender to provide a urine sample issued Mr. Scully drop on October 16, 2018. The offender failed to drop as directed. On November 6, 2018, P.O. Duffney called the offender with no answer. On November 14, 2018, P.O. Duffney mailed a letter of non-compliance letter to the offender's approved residence, directing the offender to report to her assigned parole office on November 19, 2018 by 10 a.m. The offender failed to report as directed. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, though she is absconded from supervision. On November 26, 2018, P.O. Duffy contacted the Pima County Jail, St. Mary's Hospital, St. Joseph's Hospital, and Banner Hospital to see if the offender was present. She was not. And attached to the warrant is a copy of the letter dated November 14, 2018, directing the offender to report to the parole office.
Thank you, sir. So, what is not true about that?
I refused to go. I did go. On October 16, I reported to go drop anyway. I wasn't able to produce enough of a sample, and I called my parole officer and I informed him. And at the place, they told me that I have to wait 3 hours before I could provide another sample. And he knew I had to go because I had an appointment with the DES because I was working on getting a monthly bus pass and a job right there at the DES. And
okay, ma'am? Ma'am?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we need to narrow it down so we can move into phase two and we'll have plenty of time to explain it. Did you not go to the parole office when you were on the date you were told to report?
He told me to report on the 19th. I had just got out of the hospital.
Okay, so did you or didn't you go and report to the parole office on the date he told you to be there?
No, I did not.
Okay, did you get the letter that he sent?
I got a letter from him on the 15th saying that I was not complying with my parole, and I called him. And I left him a message because I was after hours when I received the letter. And then I told him when I was going to call him so that he would be in the office. And the following morning, which was November 16th, I called him and I talked to him, and he instructed me to go your way. I was on my way when I got into a car accident and I was hospitalized till the 17th after working hours. By then it was already the weekend. I couldn't call him or report anything. And
okay,
I did on the next business day.
Well, you were gone from, in no contact with him for about 26 days. Were you able to come to the hospital?
No, I have
a question. All right, I'm going to move this into phase two so you can explain in a little more detail, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry if I'm confusing you, but...
Okay, well, I'm not confused. All right, so based on the information in number 2018W35005, Ms. Moses' testimony and the information from the Department of Corrections, primarily the information from the Department of Corrections on allegations number one on the removal, we find that Ms. Miller was deliberate, that she violated the term condition of the supervision, and that she may have lapses or not lapses in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Thomas, and by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Okay. Background information, so stay there on the phone and I'll get right back to you, okay?
Yes,
sir. Mr. Weston.
On July 16, 2018, Ms. Mazur was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested December 15, 2018 by DPS, no new charges. She is back in DOC custody on December 15, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of November 9, 2019. 26 of stand days. Current conviction, 2017, life in law vehicle, 20 months. Prior convictions, 2009, theft means of transportation, 2 counts. Count 1, 3 years. Count 2, 2.5 years. 2011, theft means of transportation, 6 years. This is her third term in DOC. CUIR score 3.3. Mental health score 2, substance abuse score 1. Gang information note, she's an associate of Southside Goldie Criminal Street Gang. Prior term supervision, 2011, TIS release, arrested on new felony, theft of means of transportation, read CCD prior to seeing the BOEC. 2016, TIS release, arrested on current offense, revoked by the BOEC. Disciplinary is moderate, with drugs, disorderly conduct, sex acts, and violence noted. Other arrests, 2006, burglary, third degree, Arizona, juvenile probation. All other arrests result in charges that were dismissed or not processed. Her community risk score is a G5B5.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Westby, just to follow, because we're being passed some information, I'll give it to my colleague in a second, but how many scholar days was that?
That was 26 of 7.
26, thank you. And apparently no one wants to call.
There's copies.
We'll go ahead and ask her. Do we go ahead and make the call?
Yes, sir, please.
Hello?
Yes, may I speak to Ms. Wilson, please?
Yes, please.
Yes, your daughter, we have a message that you want to participate in the parole hearing or the revocation hearing for your daughter, and is that correct, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay, if you hold on, the Honorable Mr. Neal is conducting the hearing at this time, so he'll tell you when it's time for you to come on the phone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Magro. I'm going over some of this paperwork. It was, provided in the hearing. I'm trying to find some dates. The dates I can find is November 17th, and I believe the discharge papers, so that would be the new discharge amount. Is that correct?
Yes. I sent a copy, yes.
Okay, well, you supplied copies of a lot of cover information from the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going through here the places that they're supposed to be dates of or signature if there aren't anything, and I'm trying to find something other than the date it was put in. And like I say, usually, okay, this is the billing services, okay? That's dated 17.
Yeah.
So, on the 14th, you were directed to report it on the 19th, and you were discharged from the hospital on the 17th. So why didn't you go in on the 19th like you're supposed to? Well, hold on a minute. Mr. Lesky's got some further information.
Yes, we saw a phone note here. This Ms. Mason was directed to provide the urine specimen on October 19th, 2018. That was an actual home visit that Peter Duffy had at her residence. There's a program on October 19th, 2018, when the Feather River residence, 851 West Apple Way, the Jew Center, Arizona, sponsored Mother Maria Fortson. And it says here, the Feather was directed to drop a urine, okay, which it doesn't show any record if there was one drop. So the offender's complaining of transportation issues and issues with getting a job. He directed her to DPS Job Services at PRC the next week. He also directed her, it says next report date, November 21st, 2018. So she had the directions she had in the letter, but her previous date that she was directed to report from when he verbally had a face-to-face contact visit was that she was supposed to come in on November 21st, 2018. So even if she did not receive the letter, her next scheduled report date at the parole office was on November 21st, which she failed to report.
Thank you, sir. Okay, back to you, Ms. Mayra. So, as you said, you, according to the letter that you were sent, that you said that you were supposed to come in on the 19th, but regardless, even if we take away all that stuff with the letters and everything there, even the day that you were told to go drop that UA that you didn't drop, or that it was unsuccessful, that day you were told to report on the 21st amendment. So any way you look at it, you didn't show up for those face-to-face visits. So why not?
The day that I called to report the accident and everything, I told him I was on a car, I had a concussion, and that I was instructed to rest for the following week. He okayed it, and I asked him if it was possible that he could do a home visit because he's done it before. And he didn't know that, because he had prior engagement. And he told me that he they will call me within a week or so, but just to keep checking my color. And I did so. I kept checking my color. You can even check on the TASC app, because you have to sign in with your ABC number, and your birthday is already there. I kept checking twice a day, and nothing came up. He did call me one time on November 6th, but the phone call hung up. I called him back and left him a message. He never called me back. That's when I received the letter on the 15th of November.
Okay, when was that that you called and didn't get a message back?
He called me on the 6th of November. And the phone call, as soon as I hung up. And I called him right back, but it went to voicemail. So I left him a message to call me back, because he had called me, I don't know what had happened. And I was waiting for his call, he never called. But I left him my phone number, I also left my mom's phone number.
All right, two questions. When did you go into the hospital?
I went in November 16th. And I didn't leave till November 17th. It was after 4 o'clock, but it was a weekend, so I couldn't get a hold of them regardless. I called them on the 19th, as soon as, you know, it was working hours, which was that following Monday. And I told them what had happened. I told them my condition. I was not in condition to go anywhere. I asked them if he could do a home visit. And I told them as well that I was a narcotic. I told them I had all my paperwork to show for it. And
okay.
He showed me that when he did see me to bring my paperwork. That was the day that I called in everything.
Okay, I just, I'm a little confused as to why that if you got the letter and it said to show up on the 19th, it also said that the warrant could be taken care of if you show up. But you didn't show up on the 19th, and you would have been told earlier that in October that your next normal report date would have been the 21st of November. So you missed like three report dates that you knew about. And then you were, even at that, you were gone for 26 days, and then 26 days, you probably didn't make too much effort to get hold of your PO. So, did you have any employment during that time?
Just the day that I went to Woodrow, I had to go to DES, but that was it, and it's a long process in there. But I did call them. When I received the letter, and the letter, it didn't state what day I was supposed to go. It just said that I was not compliant with my parole, that I needed to contact my parole or my supervisor so that he could talk to me. Because I did call him, because I was compliant. I did not want to get violated or anything. I was providing my samples when I did, and if there was a problem, I would tell him, and he understood because I would always call him. I always reported when I had police contact, because I had an issue going on with my sister. The cops kept coming to the house and stuff,
okay,
like that. I always reported everything.
Okay, now, since looking at your TASC record, it looks like you have quite a problem with making sure that you drop UAs and reasonable UAs. So out of five listed drops, there was one that was negative, one that was diluted but negative, and then there were three you didn't defer the drop. And that's one reason I think that we were directed to do the other one on the 19th of October, is because you failed to drop these other ones. Is that right? Is that what he told you?
My parole officer, Mr. Duffy, went to a drop-off on the 16th, okay? I couldn't produce enough UA, so he told me that he knew why I had to leave the task area. And he told me to make sure to keep checking for my color, because it will come up again, because I didn't provide a sample that day, because I couldn't produce enough. So I kept checking the tag, and my color didn't come up, so that's why he called me, and he told me to go UAM.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. You failed to drop on the 4th of October, And because of that, and because of problems you've been having with the UAs, he told you to go in and drop one on the 19th, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's when he came into your house and told you to drop the UA, and when it was at your house, he told you when to report on the 21st of November, correct?
No, he didn't tell me on the 21st of November. I promise he did not.
Well, okay, the information we have is that when he was at that home, he not only told you to drop the UA, but told you to report in on the 21st. Then when you had phone problems, then he came up with the, in November, on the 6th, he tried to get a hold of you, and he didn't get an answer, which is when you're talking about hung up. And, of course, if he's trying to call you, and you call him back, his line is in Jersey. But he had a letter telling you to do that on the 19th of November, and you were already out of the hospital, and he had told you verbally before this whole thing unfolded to be there on the 21st of November. So there were like 3 dates that you missed to go, or 2 dates that you missed to go in and see. And during that whole 26 days that he couldn't locate you, you apparently didn't make any efforts to call him. And I know if you're on the scavenger and there's a message left on his phone by you, I'm really pretty certain that the PO would make an attempt to contact him and would probably document his trauma. So I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this point. No questions. Okay, well, we're nearing the end of your hearing. We're going to be going into discussion shortly to, I almost blew that. Maria Fulson?
Yes.
Okay, would you like to address the board?
What board?
Well, no, is there anything you'd like to tell the board before we make a decision?
Oh, yeah, I'm not, my daughter's doing it.
Just wait,
could we ring out the birthday for her?
Okay, well, we got to know that you wanted to participate telephonically in your daughter's revocation hearing. Okay, so that's what we called you. We're getting close to the end of the hearing, but before the board makes a decision, we let any supporters make statements if they would like, and then we allow the inmate to make a final statement. So is there anything that you would like to say to the board, ma'am, or do you just want to listen to what goes on?
Well, I want to know if my daughter's coming home soon.
Okay. Is that all you'd like to say now?
Well, I'm here for her, so what else can I say?
Okay. Well, we always like to give you an opportunity, but when you meet people call in, it just basically want to listen to the proceedings and so that they know what the outcome is. Okay, so now we go back to Ms. Manuel, and we're nearing the end of the hearing. The board will be going to discuss and make a determination shortly, but before we do, we'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think the board should know before we make a decision. However, we do ask that you don't repeat all the information that we've already covered, okay?
Yes, sir. Okay.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Yes. I know that due to the events and everything that has been said here, it doesn't look so good for me. I did try to do good out there. I was doing good. This is my first time ever coming to parole. I've been in and out. Being incarcerated. I am currently pregnant right now. It's my first child. I'm scared. I don't know how, you know, I'm going to do this. But I like the chance to carry my pregnancy out there. I have been having some complications while incarcerated with my pregnancy because I've been spotting and stuff. And it's not excusing nothing like that. It's just before I have really reason, you know, and now I have a kid that I'm bringing into this life, and I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be a mom. And I know I've been a mess up most of my life. I've been in and out of jail. But I'm tired of this. I know that I should have done more of an... I don't know the correct word to... Like, do things... Be there more, like, you know? With my parole and everything. But if given the chance, I will do everything, anything. I will move if I have to, close to where I have to go to task. I'll do everything that I can to do things right. I know that you probably hear this a lot, but I'm tired of being in here. This is not a place to have a baby, and it's not a place for anybody. And I think you guys are having the consideration to hear me. And just be sure I have to say thank you for everything.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. The board is not even discussing how to make a determination. We've been talking amongst ourselves. You may think that we're addressing you, but we won't be. So we ask that you remain silent. And once the board has made a decision, I'll get back with you, okay?
Thank you, John.
Yes,
sir. The board is not discussing. Well, this is definitely an unfortunate case. Ms. Miller has... She doesn't have a tremendously long record, but she's pretty young. The record she has is pretty bad. And she has terrible time with community supervision. She had community supervision treatment losses occasions, and both ended up in felony arrests and convictions and into the different sentences as you go. And now she's on TIO for UCBO, and same thing with following the directions of the PO. Unfortunately, she was in a car accident, spent a couple of days in the hospital. I can understand that, but those couple of days in the hospital in these times still wouldn't afford her an opportunity to show up on two different occasions that she had been directed to show up. Also, a little more persistence in contacting the PO probably would produce some results. The mother couldn't call the PO or a friend, the nurse, while she was in the hospital. Based on your overall situation in the Abscond days, I don't see Ms. Meza as a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time. I don't know if there's some discussion from my fellow board members. No discussion? Okay, so based on all the information, in warrant number 2018W3505, Ms. Meza's testimony and the information from the Department of Corrections. I need to revoke Ms. Mays' community supervision as she was labeled by way of conditional supervision and now acts of without lapse in criminal ways of company.
Second. Agree?
Agree.
Motion by myself. Second by Mr. Johnson. Agree that Dr. Wright and Mr. All right, ma'am, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. You are scheduled to be released November 9th of 2019. That's 7 months away. But we would suggest in the meantime, if I take any kind of programming you can get, especially in things that will help you be successful when you're done with your sentence. Because at that time, as long as you don't get in any more trouble, you'll be free of DOC, and it'll be all up to you to see whether you're successful or not. You have to make that determination. And if you are having a drug problem, have relapsed or something, it's up to you. Nobody else can cure you. You're the only one that can do it. Now, they can give you help, but you have to be willing to participate. And so we do wish you the best of luck. We don't want to have to see you in this situation again. We hope that you can finish your term being a productive citizen. So this is Lindsay Harry, ma'am, and would you please just lay the phone down on the counter so that next inmate can get it?
Yes.